You're listening to Flipside. Todd Burge is our guest, a fellow Todd from West Virginia, though. He's not from Tennessee. And it's the first time he's ever been down in these studios before. Initial impressions of our carpet and things like that?
The carpet's nice, and it was... I had trouble finding it because I'm not used to walking. I'm used to walking in full circles, and you know, but eventually it, yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah, and you come to Knoxville every now and then, but not that often. You were here. Originally, was the first time you ever came here. Was it with 63 Eyes?
Yeah, 63 Eyes in the probably in the late '80s, mid to late '80s. We play, I can't even remember where we played.
I believe I remember.
Do you remember?
Was it Vatican Pizza?
Yeah, with Jesus Chrysler. And that name, that band name, Jesus Chrysler, and those guys, you can still find them on Facebook. And but that's like one of my favorite band names ever.
They were a great band as well. They're from Oak Ridge.
Vatican Pizza.
Yeah, there's a double dose of sacrilege. Jesus Chrysler performing at Vatican Pizza.
I remember they had... a 45, and the cover had Lee Iacocca on a cross.
That's the band I'm thinking of.
How's the interview so far, Todd?
I'm having a blast because I got to say Vatican Pizza. I love saying Vatican Pizza. So tell me about what you're doing these days. I know that you brought an assortment of instruments and tools with you.
I don't travel light.
That's good.
Well... these days, mainly raising kids, two. And we have a 12-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl, Will and Sophia. So that's my best work, really. And we live there in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and it's all about that mainly. But then on the side, I make up songs and I record albums still, and... and just play as much as I can, travel up and down the East Coast mostly, and then I do it all over again.
And I know some of our listeners will know you from Mountain Stage, which we carry here on WUOT. You still play that on occasion, right?
I do, and as a matter of fact, I brought with me for you my latest CD happens to be live on Mountain Stage. It's called Todd Burge, Live on Mountain Stage. It took me 9 years to make this CD, so from 2006 to 2015, various performances from those years, and 17 tracks, but I'm really happy with this recording. Mountain Stage. It's been, I don't know that I would be playing if it weren't for them. That's a real boost for me, Mountain Stage has been.
In what way did it become a boost for you? Because I remember being rejected by them, which was in a way a boost for me because it brought out my rebel spirit.
Yeah, rejection can be a boost, and I was rejected for, I've got rejection stories. Mountain Stage rejection stories. Actually, the first time I was booked, I was supposed to be on with the Indigo Girls, their first appearance on Mountain Stage, and it was booked. I can't remember who else. But they told me that if Joan Baez, they wanted Joan Baez to be on the show. The Indigo Girls were touring with her at the time, and if Joan Baez could not make it, they were going to have me. And, I mean, I'd never been on there before, but I just loved that thought. And I was booked, and then they told me at the kind of 2 weeks before that Bob Mould wanted the slot, and they were going to move me to another show at some point. It was 6 months later, but I've always had a problem with Bob Mould after, you know, Husker Du fame. He was on Warner Brothers. I was on my couch, you know. So
well, if there's some sort of triangulated karma going on here. I have been rejected by Mountain Stage as well. That's one of the many things we have in common. But also, I have a similar relationship to Bob Mould and the Indigo Girls.
Well, how's that?
What's that? I was glad you asked me.
I need to know.
I need to tell somebody. I have been served food or beer by both of them.
Really?
Yeah. We were playing at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta.
I have to say this. I've been rejected from... I've never played there. I've always wanted to. Been rejected. So there we go.
See, the karma... between us, we fill out a complete life. No, I was... Yeah, we were playing at Eddie's Attic, and my friend Christian Bush actually got us in there because we had been rejected, and Christian goes, I'll get you in anyway. I'll just make you, you know, the opener. And I won't tell them it's you. And we had a great time. But Emily from the Indigo Girls was tending bar. She gave me some food and some beer for free. And I've always had a soft spot for the Indigo Girls after that. And then I played with Husker Du one time, and Bob Mould saw me staring at the band's food. And he goes, "Can we feed you?" And there was a bunch of pizza, and so he brought the Dopes, the Smokin' Dave guys, in. We ate all their pizza. Not all their pizza. They'd already eaten some of it.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm glad between us we have this complete experience.
Yeah, that's all we need right there.
So the first time you played Mountain Stage, do you remember who was on the bill and what the vibe was?
Yeah, I do remember. It was Per Ubu.
Oh, my.
And Lisa Germano. A band from New York, upstate New York, I believe, called Songs from a Random House. Look them up. I just remember they had a song, and all it said was, "Close that door, were you born in a barn?" I love those guys. I'm forgetting maybe the final, another act. But it was a wild and wonderful show all around. But I was a mess. I was just a nervous wreck, you know, playing it. I played Mountain Stage two or three times before I got kind of comfortable, you know.
Well, is it kind of like the Tonight Show where the first one is really the audition for the future?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been on the Tonight Show either.
Had that been the case, you know, I don't know if they would have asked me back in my mind, because there's a reason that my Best of Mountain Stage album that's just out starts at 2006. The show that we're talking about, my first appearance there, was 1991. So I go way back with Mountain Stage.
Oh, wow. So you, over a decade before you started including songs
from
Mountain Stage.
Yeah. I just remember kind of getting slightly comfortable about that time, and the tapes prove that that I was correct when I listened back.
Well, you want to play us a ditty of some? I know you're reaching for your water.
No, I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I'll play you. Actually, this is one that's off of the Mountain Stage album, but it sounds like this on a day like this one. Joseph, and my friends all call me Joe, but you believers, you may know me as the daddy of your Lord, but not the father of his flesh or the father of his soul. 'Cause when it comes to those, our holy father claims them as his own. Had a humble life since the day Jacob begat me, and forever I've been told that Abraham begat our family tree, and it drew out many branches, 14 generations times 3. Then it was up to me to start another branch. Sure, you see. So I hooked up with Mary, and we wed right away. With child, and he knows all that I knew and all I know that you know now. canal too, so we decided to run away instead of hang our heads in shame. But an angel said to stay and rejoice in our newborn king and embrace his name. I never laid a hand on her, I swear. I never laid a hand on her, I swear. So now when I pray to God, I pray to my baby son, I say, please, baby Jesus, give me strength to believe what that angel told me in my sleep, and I'll do the very best I can. But I'm just a mortal man, you see. And at times I wake up late, haunted by this doubt I keep about your dear mother, for she's mortal too. I never laid a hand on her, I swear. I never laid a hand on her, I swear. I never laid a hand on her, I swear.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Todd Burge is our guest here on Studio 865 Flipside. Man, you know, it's interesting. I've heard you play and sing for a long time now, and there's something I've noticed about men's voices, and you're a great example of that, that they just get richer and fuller with age. Like, your voice now to me sounds stronger and more expressive and emotive than, say, in your 20s. And
yeah.
I think that's maybe true for a lot of guys.
I think it is. I think it is. I mean, well, you know, it's a muscle we're working for 30 years, and you would hope if you take care of yourself that happens. But and I've challenged myself to experiment with things that maybe in my 20s I didn't think was that maybe I wouldn't have tried to do.
Falsetto.
Falsetto, yeah, for example, falsetto, yeah. At various times, just a way. And also, when you're playing solo, most of the time, which I do, you try to use everything you've got. You know what I mean?
And you're mostly solo now, right? I mean, I've noticed you do lots of projects with different people and a lot of duo things, but
yeah.
Would you say the majority of your gigs are solo?
95% probably, yeah. The shows I play are solo shows, yeah.
Do you like, is that your favorite way to perform, or is that just the way it worked out?
It's a way to make a living, really, for me. And from the get-go, I started out with 63 Eyes playing in the trio rock and roll songs, and there were some songs that didn't seem to work, or, you know, or whatever reason, we didn't have time to get around to some of them. And I started playing solo, and then you realize, you know, you might have 150 people at a rock show and you know, make X amount of dollars. And, of course, you get a solo show, you have 25 people. And I found out I was making three times as much. So I was like, I need to do more of this. And maybe I could do this for a living. If I can get 20 people in a room three times a night, hey, that's all I need.
And you keep going. Well, obviously, yeah. You figured a way to do it. And I think one of the reasons I was able to pull it off for so long was because I was in a three-piece. And then, you know, just the occasional solo gigs. But what about touring alone? Do you ever find it's just too much time by yourself, or do you love it?
I'm getting really sad right now. No, I'm alone right now, Todd, except for... I don't... You know, most of my touring is 2 days out. I live in a place, Parkersburg, West Virginia, along the Ohio River there, we're close to... We're within 3 hours of Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Columbus, and there are a lot of places I can go for just like 2 days out. And I might do that. I mean, I might do it once or twice a month. And in some shows, I just zip out and play. Well, the shows that I'm playing, the kind of these folky type places, these listening venues or early shows, sometimes a lot of the shows I'll just play and zip back that evening or whatever and be home, you know, not crazy late like the old days where I don't play till 3 a.m. anymore.
Don't you miss getting back to some hotel at 3:45?
No, I do not. I do not. I never liked that at all. Not even in my 20s. It's, you know, I always detested it. Who likes that? I mean, I don't know. Somebody does. Yeah, well, the touring that I do is pretty...
Sounds humane.
It is. And it's a schedule, and And all, you know, it's just a more laid back schedule. I'm not sleeping on floors for the most. You know, sometimes somebody I'll sleep on somebody's spare room or whatever.
What do your kids think about it, the music itself, and you, the musician?
They've grown up with this being their normal thing. So, and they've, you know, they started out from the. It came out of the box, basically.
Is that how you get them?
Yeah. Yeah. They're in a nice package. Anyway, that's all they've known me to do. They when they started going to school, they realized how odd it is, you know. It was like in West Virginia, I'm part of the, you know, not even 1% of full-time musicians. So, I mean, maybe that's the way it is everywhere, but... there's a very low percentage of full-time musicians. And songwriting was just what I did every day and still do, and they participated in it. They sing with me occasionally. A couple weeks ago at my CD release concert, they got up on stage with me, and it's very natural for them to just jump up there and sing away. And they've crossed the line over from just doing kids' songs to somewhat sinister-type songs. There's a song off Imitation Life, last year's CD. What is it called? Step Aside. And it's basically about my son replacing me, you know. And he sings backup on it. Actually, you might play that if you want to play a song from a CD.
Let's have a listen. This is from Imitation Life?
Yeah, it's produced by Tim O'Brien. We did it at John Prine's Butcher Shop, and it was very well recorded. And my son, Will... singing back up on here.
Did you pay him?
Yeah, he got food. He got paid in food for the first 12 years of life so far, you know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Put me in. I wanna win to be the best at life's test. I'm asking you. Going high, just step aside, I'll drive. Just wait and see, close your eyes as you know me. I'm asking you to go and high, just step aside. I could bite you despite the nose on my face. It's true, I'm the shadow behind you. So put me in, just give in. I'm flesh and blood, so be a bud. I'm asking you to go and hide, just step aside. Thank you. sign. I'm asking you. I'm asking you. I'm asking you to step aside, step aside, step aside, step aside.
It's good. It's better with the backing vocal.
You got to. Well, you just have to bring a small child with you everywhere you go, just for that highlight moment. If you just joined us, Todd Burge is in the studio with us. We just heard a track from his Imitation Life, recorded in Nashville. It definitely had, and that was Step Aside. It definitely had a Nashville vibe to the whole recording. Did you feel, being in Nashville, you must sort of succumb to that?
Well, you could play other tracks off there. You would you wouldn't think that, but. The guy that engineered this, his name's Dave Ferguson, and he did John Hartford and people. He does Del McCurry stuff and John Prine's. He owns this studio with John Prine, and basically the recordings are live. We sit you know there and play them live. And Tim O'Brien will add a thing here or there. Afterwards, but for the most part, it's a live experience.
Did you at any point buck about having a producer, or you know, because I know a lot of times you record. I think Live at Maxwell's had no actual.
Live at Maxwell's.
Live at Maxwell's, yeah. Has no actual producer on it.
Yeah, well, that was just four mics and Owen Davis and myself. But you know. Some of my favorite recordings of my own were just kind of like I accidentally got it right, you know. And of course, that's a live album. But the reason I never wanted a producer, for all the reasons that most people don't want producers, but I found that, and Don Dixon was the one that started this. I was doing a compilation for the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame, and Tim was part of that session, but we sat in a circle with some great players and really didn't, you know, workshop over those songs too hard and kind of had this live, more spontaneous feel to it. And you didn't feel like you were in a studio. You felt like you were just kind of like hanging out at your house.
You're listening to Flipside. Our guest is Todd Burge, all the way from Parkersburg, West Virginia. You got any more songs for us? Do you have any songs about animals?
So yeah, this song comes from a friend of ours. Years ago, she was pregnant and she had a couple of Doberman Pinscher pups. We had this Weimer on her that was a pup at the time. It's freaky dogs, you know. My wife was enamored with William Wegman's photography, and he's this guy that, you know, photographed Weimer on her. And beautiful photographs. I'll crap on that guy, because this was like these things are freaks, man. This dog calmed down and started acting like a puppy after like 8 years. But this friend of ours, she had these Dobermans, and her doctor said that she needed to, you know, be on bed rest while she was with child, and asked if we would take her dogs in for a while. She told us that they're house trained, didn't let us know which house. But but after they left, I wrote this song, and I looked at our dog, Lou, with a little more love. Our friend's pup just threw up in the kitchen by the door. That bad boy sure ain't good with his number two falling on my floor. Who knew that you, who knew that you were the good dog? Whistle, you do come at a steady pace, and no matter where from, and you sit there so politely and wag your tail while I strum. And I think
town was not in your lost and found. Took me 6 years to get a clue, but for you it seemed like 42. Who knew that you, who knew that you were the good dog? Hey boy, hey boy, hey boy.
Hey, Todd Burge. It's great to see you again after many moons.
Hey, same to you, Todd.
And same to you, Todd. Good night, Todd.
Good night, Todd.
Good night, President Todd.
Good night, Hillary.
This is Todd Steed. You've been listening to Flipside. Don't forget, you can hear lots of these episodes on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store and search Studio 865, and you'll find all the goodies there. Thanks for joining us here on Studio 865 Flipside.